Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're ever looking to get behind the scenes, it's simple. Follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, or you will see myself, O-Dog and Noodles, what we do in the studio, before the show, during the show, after the show, constantly updating stories and best of clips. Again, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050.
It's Mail It In Friday.
I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Well, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail.
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around and putting it in the boxes.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan.
Uh-oh, Hazy Beats voices.
Well, you know what happened, man. I was in the booth earlier.
Yelling and screaming.
Spitting rhymes. And as a result, yeah, I think I might be losing my voice.
Struggling.
I am the Joe Namath of the rap game.
Struggling.
Who would be who wouldn't be struggling getting on that plane this morning if you're...
I don't know how to do it, man.
Unless
like,
some
they
guys...
They would have been out till...
Unless some guys... Did. Like, I there are legitimately, and I'm not judging them, there are guys who don't drink. So they would have... Hung out, had a good time and stuff. So,
but your adrenaline would be rushing at such a high level.
Zero sleep, but you'd feel a lot better. You can go on no sleep and adrenaline as opposed to no sleep and Spearmint Rhino and 60 vodka sodas.
Well, they were at the MGM. They were at the club with Tiesto.
Yeah.
And I guess you can just bring the cup around, which...
Well, I think Philip... Pritchard.
He's got to be there. He's always got to be, which would kind of be a downer because you want to maybe get up to the suite and Pritchard's kicking around.
But he's there.
I guess he's seen everything.
That's why I'm telling you. That's the book I want to see.
No, but when the guys have the cup, it's not like he stays at your house for the weekend. He comes and picks it up.
So he let them just do whatever they wanted with the cup?
I'm just saying, when the guys get the cup, he's not in your house the whole weekend.
You get it for one day. You're there. Yeah, but he's there the whole time.
He's not at your house.
I was told that he, and there's another guy that travels with it too, is good at the guitar and stuff. Like, because they party too. They have to stay there. They chaperone the cup. They don't just drop it off.
I could see them having a rule, though, where they're not allowed to drink. They're on the job. Like, Pritchard can't be absolutely puddled out with the cup and with the boys. Like, he can't do that.
I think there is a 24. I think there is a chaperone with it.
I think so too. Like that's the Stanley Cup. That's worth a lot of money. And if the guys do something stupid, because let's not forget these players. Once they get to the party and the cup goes down, they're off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, they don't care.
There's a single guy and there's a bunch of girls. You think he cares where that cup goes? He won the cup. He'll make when it's on the flight the next day, he'll take pictures. But he's out of there.
Ask the Dallas Stars for that. They had the party at Vinny Pantera's house. And somebody launched the cup from the second level and tried to get it into the pool, and it hit the side deck before it hit the pool, and I think there was a dent in it. This guy
that would cause a dent.
Well, I'm not sure if he can prevent that. Like, I don't think he can be hovering over the cup the whole time. But I think he's in the vicinity of it. I think he's around it.
So he's in a lawn chair while this guy's got it
apparently
in the second level?
You're right. I just got a text that he's with the thing 24
I believe.
Hours.
Yeah, I was told that this guy is not allowed... to leave the cup, like that's where stuff like that happens. Now I don't know if he was. I think that rule came in after some of the incidents. Like when did Dallas win? 99
But if you're gonna have some private time,
that's what I'm saying.
Is he peeking through the door? The creepazoid.
You're up in the suite. Girls so are kicking around.
Okay,
let's be grown adults here. What do you think some of the players were doing? Were looking to get up to last night in Vegas?
An orgy with the cup.
Yeah.
Well.
Okay. Not that.
If you want to be grown adults.
Everyone else.
Sorry,
is...
Mr. Rogers over here. You're right. You took it to a completely different level.
I'm just telling you. What do you think? Like,
yeah, I
if
think
you're young and single,
likely,
you're having an orgy with the cup.
Okay. And Pritchard is in there. Pritchard is in there.
No, I'm just, I'm...
It would have been had to have been a lot of booze for a girl to say, all right, Philly. I don't like the hair. I don't like the shoes. You're in.
Yeah.
No,
you're
I'm...
down.
Go
I'm
ahead,
talking,
Phil.
I'm not talking at parties.
Take your licks.
When you get it for 24 hours, it's yours. But he's there the whole time.
No, I'm saying I get that. I understand why you'd have to be. But
he's not wearing curtains. and just like the curtains have feet, he's got to be in the same room.
You know how some of these players would be too. You know they'd be like, "Get the hell out of here, Pritchard!" Like they'd be beaking him nonstop.
But like, if you, if for some reason you were like, "Okay, I'm gonna head into the bedroom. I'll be back in an hour." I'm pretty sure he's not going to be like, "I need to stand next to it." I'm pretty sure there's some leeway there. If you're in a private residence, we were talking the party setting where, again, the Dallas Stars party was at Vinny from Pantera's house, and it was an absolute gong show from what I heard. I wasn't there, but I had a few buddies that were there, and somebody launched the cup off the second level and tried to get it into the pool and missed. And that's where I don't know.
There's legendary tales of the Oilers losing the cup.
I played with Grant Fear. I'd get a couple rums into him at the back of the plane. I would get every story from the cup runs. It was unreal. But they're the reason why there's a chaperone for the cup, because Messier's taking it to the Bruin Inn in St. Albert.
Well, why not just get a fake cup? Like, just get a replica and give that to the team.
I don't think the replica has as much cachet.
Of course it doesn't, but it's still going to be about the same thing. As long as it resembles the Stanley Cup and you actually won it, you're legitimately the team, no one's going to be like, "Hey, wait a minute, let me just check that. Nope, Serge Savard's name isn't on it." Like, no one's going to do that.
Yeah, I'm saying that the respect factor would be a lot lower. If I had a replica cup at a party, dude, I'd end up smashing it.
Of course, but if it's a replica, like every year you just make another one, a couple grand or whatever, the team pays for it. If you win the cup, you got to pay for the replica, then you can do whatever the hell you want with it. That seems like a pretty good idea.
Imagine if you're the last guy at the end of August and you get this bent up old...
No. I'm not saying your day with the cup. The day with the cup, you get the real cup. I'm saying you just won it and you're at a club in Vegas.
Oh, here's a replica.
Here's a $5,000 replica. Like, Ovi would take out cash and be like, "Here's $5,000.
Oh, for sure.
Here's $25,000. Those guys would have paid $200,000 just to be able to mess with it. And they would have given $200,000 to Philip Pritchard to leave.
Yes.
Here's $200,000 cash. Get the hell out of here, please.
Yeah,
leave us alone.
I'd give him $5,000 to go in the bathroom and lock the door.
Philip Pritchard.
All right, Philip, let's go.
All right, so Ray's already stiffing us. Like, he's back in Vancouver, and I don't think he's answering his phone, or I don't know what's going on with him.
Well, he's maybe delayed getting out of Vegas.
Pretty sure he's home. I think he's home. I think he's "I'm out of here." He's probably playing golf or something.
Yeah, he was probably on the first flight this morning.
Yeah. Everyone's having these Ovechkin legacy conversations.
All right.
And I don't think it's disputable that this factors into his legacy. It improves his legacy.
Oh, sure. He's regarded as a Stanley Cup champion. It just puts the cherry on top. You've talked about this trophy case. It's incredible.
His resume prior to this, like, I don't think he gets enough love. He beat Crosby for the Calder.
Yes.
Like, I'm not saying I would take his career over Sid's or whatever, but Sid was unbelievable as a rookie. And yeah. Ovi won it, and legitimately won it. He scored 51, I think, his rookie year.
Yeah.
Like, they both had over 100 points. So he won the Calder. He's got 3 Hearts. He's got 7 Rockets. He's got 3 Pearson/Lindsays. He's got an Art Ross, and now a Conn Smythe and a Stanley Cup. Like, resume is off the charts.
Well, he's put himself in company with Gretzky, Lemieux, all of those guys as far as hardware. I saw a board that
he's sniffing around kind of like, this is maybe a bit aggressive. He's kind of sniffing around, retire, go right into the hall. Like
the Gretzky treatment?
Gretzky got it. Lemieux got it. Is that too aggressive?
I think it's too aggressive. I think
slightly, but I mean, let's
not forget. What has he got left, though? What could he continue to do?
That's what I'm saying. You give me 5 more years of Ovi at 30 goals a year average.
But if he gets it, then Sid's got it.
Now you're...
They both would have to get it.
Yeah.
Because
but they are two generational players.
I don't know. I just thought that off the top of my head because of what you just said. You read that resume again.
Won the Calder, 3 Hearts, 7 Rockets, 3 Pearson/Lindsays, an Art Ross, a Conn Smythe, and a Stanley Cup.
The 7 Rockets is
7
insane.
Rockets. And I think he'll probably add 1 or 2 more to that.
Possible, yeah.
But the Conn Smythe and the Cup, like that's the icing on top. I think it's been accepted Gretzky or Lemieux Howe are like the top 4 all time. I think you can make a strong case that Crosby's played himself into the 5th greatest player of all time. Now, these are difficult conversations to have because he's maybe knocking out Maurice Richard. I wasn't even alive when he was playing.
Exactly.
So it's difficult to do that. But I think Crosby has built up enough cachet and enough winning and enough hardware and enough greatness to be considered maybe a top five player of all time. I think Ovechkin may have been there anyway, but with this kind of run and a Conn Smythe and a cup, now he's close to the top 10, if not in the top 10, somewhere between 6 and 10.
This pushes him of the cup, because of the Conn Smythe.
Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Are you back in Vancouver, Ray?
Yeah, I am. Yesterday was like 106 in Vegas, and it's 12. What's that, like 53 in Vancouver? I'm like, what the hell?
A bit of a drop
off. Like I landed on the moon.
Yeah. Did you get out of there like first thing this morning?
I had a 5:37 flight.
Oh. I think I've been on ones like that where I've just stayed up all night and gone right to the airport. I actually had one. I was in Vegas in March, and I just went all night and then went right to the airport and slept on the plane.
So I made a valiant effort last night. I went home, I don't know, whatever time we got out of there, 10 something or other, and went back, had to pack. I was sitting in my room, and I'm like, okay, man, I'm going to go to bed. And then I couldn't sleep, and so I zipped in a last hour of blackjack and had to dig clothes out of my suitcase because I packed everything away.
you decided lay down a little extra money, donate a little extra money before you left, or did you come out ahead?
No, I noticed that they needed a little refresh of the wallpaper, so I left a little bit more behind.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, but I felt like the guy, I'm sure you guys have seen this guy. It's 9 in the morning, he's playing blackjack, he's got his suitcases with him. Like, he's already checked out, and he's walking through, and he's like, damn it, I could win this time.
Yeah, just sit down once, one more time, chasing it.
And he's got his, this happened the other day, I saw a guy like this. I'm like, I wanted to tell him, man, just go home. You're not turning it around now. You're almost out the door. Go, leave. So,
yeah,
I've had enough of Vegas. Time to go home. I'm glad to be home.
Yeah, well, no kidding, man. And I guess Washington, they just landed in D.C., and it was a wild night last night. We'll get to the game, but I want to include you in the conversation we were just having. And it's always difficult to discuss lists, top five, top ten, when you're talking about a league that's been around for 100 years. But as I said, just prior to having you on, I think it's been generally accepted. Gretzky or Lemieux, Howe, that's like the Mount Rushmore. That's the top four. I think you can make a strong case for Crosby being the number five guy with guys like Richard and Lafleur and Harvey, etc. But Ovechkin, he would have been around there anyway, but I do think adding a Conn Smythe and a cup, that gives him the opportunity to move up, and maybe he is in the top 10 right now. How much value do you place in the hardware he picked up last night?
Well, it's funny. The Stanley Cup, I don't think, comes into play for me as to rating a guy whether he's one of the greatest of all time.
I agree.
Only because you could be a stud and just, your time is with a bunch of guys that aren't very good, and that's, or not good enough. And that, I don't think that should detract from what a guy has done. Gord Miller uses this great analogy all the time. He's like, if Stanley Cups are the only thing that matter, then you would say Murray Wilson, who won a couple of cups with Montreal, is a better player than his brother Doug Wilson. And nobody would ever make that case, except Murray won 2 Stanley Cups. So the thing that mattered to me yesterday, for not just Ovi winning the Conn Smythe, but was the way that he won it. Like, it was a chapter of his play that we've never seen from him before. Like, I was, honestly, guys, not to jump into the narrative of, you know, oh, he total buy-in and all that, but, like, everybody said it. Like, the man, like, Brian McClellan said it, Barry Trotz said it, the players said it. They've never seen him play more inside the system than he's ever done before, than he's ever had before. And so to me, it's like, not only was he their top goal scorer and getting, you know, 15 goals, but he played in a way that the critique of him was, you couldn't win, he's not a leader. Well, the fact of the matter is, yes, he is. And he just showed us that he is.
Do you not
and
think
I was really impressed.
Do you not think he just realized that he can affect a hockey game more than scoring a goal? I mean, you notice the block shots, the hitting, It was like it just that little simple thing. I just don't have to score three goals for us to win. I have to work hard. I have to be the hardest worker, and everyone will follow me.
Well, you know what? I 100% agree. Oh, and the guy can be told 100 times, but until he realizes it,
yeah, it
took
him 14 years.
It doesn't particularly matter. Man, look, I played with Ilya Kovalchuk, and I will say Ilya's biggest fault is that whenever there was a problem, he always thought he was the answer to it. And it wasn't because he looked around and said, oh, these guys suck. He looked around and said, I want to win, and I think I can help us win. And so he would try to do it by himself. Remember the last year he played in Jersey when they went to the finals? He was like Ovi was this year. He played 24 minutes a game. He was killing penalties. He was putting up points. It was crazy. And everybody gets it at a certain time. Some guys are just good enough to affect the game when they do get it. Like Ovechkin was affecting the game in ways he never has. And it's so impressive. And so, you know, to this conversation, the answer is, yeah, I think he is in the top 10, but I don't know that, for me, that the Stanley Cup would have put him over the top for me. The way he played, that actually carries more weight in this conversation than the Cup, which was impressive enough as it is.
No, I think that's a very good point. Like, if he was injured throughout this playoff run, you'd be like, well, you know, what? I can't even include Ovechkin in all of this. Yeah, he'll get a ring, but there's an asterisk beside it. Like, when Colorado won without him, everyone brings that up. You know, remember, they won a Cup, and Forsberg was hurt, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I think the fact that, as you just broke down, you know, he was so impressive and such an integral part to all of it does hold weight. But I also think, you know, it's easy to say in the moment. You mentioned, you know, sometimes you don't win a cup and it's just because you weren't on the team. The fact is, you look at the greats of all time, they all have them. Like, they just do.
Right.
Gretzky's got them, Orr's got them, Lemieux's got them, Howe's got them, LaFleur's got them. They all have them. Like, all the way down the list.
Yep.
So
our rating system's wrong.
Well, maybe it is, but also I just think it would have really stood out if Ovechkin didn't have one. It just would have. I'm not even saying today or the day he retired or what have you. It just 20 years down the road, you'd be like, oh, he never got one. And now that you got one, you're in the group. Like, it just, and it will also factor in that way 20 years down the road. Look at all this stuff. Look at all the goals he scored and the hardware he had, but he also won a Cup and a Conn Smythe.
You know what, Brian? As you were saying that, I was thinking of when he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame, that would have, you're 100% right. That would have been talked about. Yeah, but he never won. He never won anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that can't be. And I wonder what the people think that had constantly bashed him. Like, can they see the picture now that it is different? That he did do the things that they said he couldn't? That he did lead not just by scoring 59 goals or whatever he scored, you know, 49 this year, 15 in the playoffs. Like, do they see what he did? Because it was totally different. I was super impressed. I was every bit as impressed with their team as I was with him, because everything that the Capitals weren't over the past few years when they were supposed to win, that they just never were, they were this year. Like, they were, that was just an amazing performance by their team. And just think, they were in double overtime in game three against Columbus. They were down 2-0. And they score, the puck hits Lars Eller's foot and bounces around three times and goes in. They could have lost that game just as easily as won it, and they might have been gone in the first round.
Yep.
And then they escaped, and now look.
And the narrative would have still been, you can't win with Ovi, they're a bunch of choke artists. You know, Ovi's a coach killer because Trotz probably would not have been back. And like, there's, I try and think of the things that Ovi's been called throughout his career. Coach killer is one of them. Cancer in the room. What else?
Well, you think, Jamie, it's going to give everybody within the league, and Ray, you can weigh in on all of us, everybody in the league, whether it be Tampa Bay, Toronto moving forward, other teams with good teams. Well, we got to just be patient. Look at Washington.
Well, Nashville.
They've been good for Nashville.
Nashville's another team that's been really good the last couple of years.
They can just
sit
back and say, hey, look at Washington. Look how long it took. Stick with the process here.
Well, and I also think, you know, the narrative that got slayed more than anything last night for me is that he cared more about the world championships or he cares more about playing for Russia on the international stage. That guy was jacked up last night.
He shoved it up everybody's ass last night, yeah. Period.
Like, he was jacked up to win a Stanley Cup.
Since I've been doing the radio stuff, I'm on the ice right as they win. And, you know, I do a couple interviews, and I've not seen a team as emotionally I wrote last night, they were all puddles. The manager, the coaches, the players, the trainers, everybody was crying. Like, they were so happy, relieved. Like, this has been an anvil around their neck. And, man, he was going wild. Like, Ovi was wild. He picked up, when he got to the end of the line where Ted Leonsis was, he picked him up like a 10-year-old kid. He just lifted him up off the ice. I thought he was going to put him on his shoulders. And I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is 3 minutes into the celebration. They were going crazy. It was really cool to see. It was really cool for just what you mentioned, Brian. Like, he cared about everything else more than the Stanley Cup. Well, nobody can sell me on that anymore.
How weird was the clock malfunction being in the rink?
So it went to, I think, 14 seconds or something, or 18 seconds. And then, you know, you notice it stopped. But what I noticed was everybody was slamming their sticks on the boards. It was like a peewee tournament, right? Everybody was just like, bang, 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 bang. And you look up, and the thing's frozen.
Didn't that seem shady, Ray?
No, it seemed, well, no, because it wouldn't have mattered, because there's the, you know, the clock is being timed manually as well. So somewhere they had the right time. But then it moved 2 seconds. Then it stopped. Then it moved 1 second. And all I could think of is, this has the potential for a disaster.
Yeah.
Like, just a flat-out disaster to happen.
Yeah.
Where were you? We talked about it right off the top of the show. I don't know where you were sitting, but Nick Backstrom could have iced the game with about 28 seconds left.
Yes.
And missed the net. And I thought he had a lot of pressure, but I went back and looked at the video.
He had time.
Full-blown yips.
Brian was like, this could have been the Bill Buckner situation if Vegas would have come back and scored and they'd lost that game last night. You never know.
Well, okay, Noodles, I was standing in the corner where John Carlson iced the puck 3 times in a row.
Yep.
I wanted to reach out and go, just shoot it off the glass. Like, he was just pounding it around the boards. Nobody was going to get there. And so that's where I was. And when Backstrom, he made the move and he got out to his backhand and got around whoever was out there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, that's over. Like, he's got, I thought he was going to skate it into the net.
Yeah.
And then he shot it from where he did and he whiffed it. And I'm like, oh, man. And right away, of course, we all think the same thing. This is going to end up in the net.
Yeah.
This sucks.
Immediately, I'm like, they're getting scored on. It's karma somehow.
And so then Backstrom, you know, you see after, like, his hand is just mangled, right?
Yeah.
Like, he could barely hold the cup. TJ Oshie's leg is, he probably shouldn't have been playing. And so we'll get all these reports, I'm sure, in the next few days about this guy and that guy, Vegas guys too. And I'm constantly amazed year after year what these guys put into trying to win. And they get this close, and Vegas, after all this year and all this, you know, magical story, they basically get a you-know-what burger at the end.
Yeah.
Great, they make some bonus money. But they're not coming back here next year. I mean, not unless they spend $20 million bucks and get John Carlson and John Tavares, which I guess is in the realm of possibility. But, like, it was a magical year. We all know from the years we played, 1 year doesn't guarantee the next.
Nope.
And I felt bad for them because I'm like, man, they, like, even last night, they played their ass off, and they were so close. And then when that fourth one went in, you're like, finally, it really felt like, okay, this is all over now.
Yeah,
finally over. The shoe couldn't fit anymore, like you put it.
Yeah, they're amazing. It was actually for a 5-game series, it was really impressive to watch. Like, how Washington just, after that wild first game, they just took the thing over. I thought it was a really great game last night.
Yeah, it was a great game. It was a great, outside of game four, for the most part, it was a great series. You know, great back and forth and a lot of animosity and a lot of passion and different storylines. I thought it was great. And, you know, I've been goofing on Vegas for a long time. But the truth is, I mean, they had an incredible year, an absolutely incredible year. Never felt like an expansion team until a clock malfunction and a girl starts flashing the Capitals. Then you realize they're an expansion team from Vegas. Right at the end.
That. I didn't see that until one of the guys sent out an email this morning with the, you know, the link to Twitter on it. Yeah. And I opened it up and I'm like...
Just a quick flash for the boys.
Yeah.
Congrats on the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
And somebody brought up a good point. Like, if that would have been some guy, it would have been some big fat slob.
Yeah.
But the girl that's flashing, she knows she's got the deal here.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
That was Vegas in a nutshell.
Exactly.
Like, just not a care in the
world. That wasn't a goon in Chicago or anything.
No, that wasn't a guy taking a player's helmet and putting it on.
Exactly.
That was a missile from the Strip who's like, meh,
yeah,
season's over. What are you going to do?
But wasn't there, just to, you know, a couple other things, like TJ Oshie's interview last night.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, my God. It was just amazing. And, you know, just the way, you know, the guys talked about him and, you know, Brooks Orpik saying that, you know, you needed to get him back. And, I mean, one after one, those guys were, you could just see the relief just pour out of them. It seems different than when other teams have won. I would say the fact that they failed and failed and failed and failed made people, even that weren't Caps fans, had to go, you know what, this is a cool story.
Yeah, it's a great way of putting it. A lot like the Cubs a couple of years ago. Anyway, enjoy it back in Vancouver. We'll do it again Monday, and we'll turn the page and start looking at the draft and free agency.
Yep, I'll try and make sure I get my round in by the time we tee off.
Please.
Otherwise,
do.
I'll check on the tee time.
See what you can do for us.
Yes, we'll work at it.
Thanks,
later,
buddy.
Boys.
This is Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. Game four of the NBA Finals tonight. Brian Windhorst will join us from Cleveland. We'll tee that up. We'll start looking ahead to the offseason because it feels like everybody else is, even people in Cleveland and Golden State. They're like, let's just get over with this whole formality and let's move on. So catch up with Brian Windhorst, get his take on the Brian Colangelo story, and might have to replay the fresh victim of a Twitter affair.
For sure.
The hottest track of the summer. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Game four of the NBA Finals tonight in Cleveland. We all know the series, 3-0 Golden State. I don't think anybody has any confidence that Cleveland's going to win tonight, let alone push this to 6 or 7 or actually storm back and find a way to perform history here.
What
That's not going to happen.
What is Jerry's percentage? This could go 6.
5%.
Really?
Less.
Yeah, I think Golden State romps tonight. I think they roll tonight. Let's head to Cleveland now to tee up the game and start looking ahead to a lot of different stories in the offseason. Here's ESPN NBA analyst Brian Windhorst. How you doing, Brian?
I'm okay.
Brian, you think the biggest sign that this series is going to end tonight is LeBron complimenting the opposition? Usually great athletes like himself or Tiger Woods, or they refuse to acknowledge the greatness of the opponent, and they all seem to be doing that the last 24 hours.
No, he did that last year after they were down 3-0 and they won game four. It'll just come down to whether the Cavs make three-pointers or not. They haven't made three-pointers for 3 weeks. They haven't made three-pointers since they played the Raptors, to be honest with you. They've been terrible ever since. And so that's a major factor for them. That's way more important than any compliment they may or may not have given.
We had this conversation earlier in the week about how Larry Nance Jr. probably loves that he's finally gotten to an NBA Finals, and Jordan Clarkson, and guys that have never been there before, even if they lose, when they lose, they're still going to be able to have that story. I can't picture LeBron appreciating being in the Finals. I mean, you know him well. Does he have any appreciation for this run if they lose?
No, but I have to say that one of the things that he made an emphasis on this season was to get the most that he could out of it, because he knew that they were behind the eight ball a little bit when Kyrie Irving got traded. He knew it was going to be a tough, difficult road, especially when the Isaiah Thomas trade didn't end up working out. He knew they were kind of in trouble. And so I do think he made it a goal to get the most out of it. He said this on 3 or 4 occasions, and maybe they achieved that. Maybe this is as far as they were going to go. Maybe this is for them, maybe this is winning a championship. I know you don't get a ring and you don't get a banner, but every team has a different ceiling. I think they're there. I think the frustration for them is that they felt like they could have won game one and under certain circumstances could have won game three. And so they feel like it's possible they could be up 2-1 in the series. I don't see it that way. But I think this team has achieved everything they could ever have dreamed of. And I think it's a successful season. Nobody will do it that way because the world has decided that it's championship or bust, and if you don't win a championship, you're a bum. I don't view it that way. I think it's been a phenomenal season and maybe the greatest playoff run of his career.
With Brian Windhorst of ESPN, is there a team in the NBA outside of Cleveland where if you placed LeBron on that team as it's currently constructed, that you believe they would be favored to beat Golden State?
There are three or four. You know, Boston, Philadelphia, Houston. Utah would be right there. Toronto would be right there. He's a pretty gigantic difference maker. But the NBA has a salary cap, and the NBA has various rules that make team building hard. It's one of the reasons why the Warriors have been phenomenal. They had they had smart management, but they had an incredible set of circumstances, some of which were completely out of their control that fell into place for them, where they were able to build this phenomenal team. And to build a dynasty, you have to have luck. And the Warriors have had luck, and they've taken advantage of it, and they have a dynasty. It's not going to be something that LeBron's going to easily be overcome. There is not an option for him in free agency that is a guaranteed fix, a guaranteed cinch. It's going to be a difficult decision for him.
So you just mentioned free agency. How big of a circus? They lose tonight. This is just going to be talked about every day. What's he doing? Where is he going? What do you see happening here in the coming days afterwards?
It won't be a circus for him. It'll be a circus for various teams. It'll be a circus for fans. He's gone through this before. He'll have a pretty good plan in place, and he'll put it in place. He'll have a viewpoint. The thing about it is, there's nothing out there, at least right now, and it's really important to say right now because the NBA changes every day, sometimes very radically. We've seen that repeatedly over the last 5 years. As of right now, there is no scenario out there. Any team that is a perfect fit for him, he's going to have to compromise either on what his family wants or location or maybe being at the top end championship level team. It's going to be the most personal free agency he's had because he's going to have to give something up. Now, knowing him like I do, I suspect that he's going to put winning first. And because of that, I would say that nothing is off the table. Anybody who tells you something is impossible, I would say I would not rule it out because I think he feels like he's got a blank check at this point. He doesn't owe anything to anybody. He doesn't care about what anybody says about him. He'll do what I think will make him happy, and I do think that's going to be focused on winning first.
With Brian Windhorst of ESPN, Game 4 NBA Finals tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN Radio. Putting LeBron aside, because obviously once the offseason begins, it'll be the LeBron show. Everyone will be fascinated with that decision. But as we also know in the NBA, once it's time for the offseason, all hell breaks loose. So outside of LeBron, when you start to focus on the offseason, where's your focus at? Like where's the second item for you that you think could be the most intriguing story of the offseason?
Well, I think Paul George is going to be very interesting. We still have some teams that could do something at the draft. The draft always sets the agenda for the offseason because we see big trades at the draft every year. Last year, as an example, we saw Jimmy Butler get traded to Minnesota on draft night. And shortly thereafter, we had a Kyrie Irving trade demand. And we almost saw Paul George get traded to the Cavs on draft night, near misses and stuff like that. So really, July 1st, you have to have, I think it's June 26th. Before you have July 1st, you have to have June 26th. So this is also a draft that has not only some potentially difference-making players in it, but potentially some teams in the top seven or eight who may be interested in dealing their pick. So, we really have to see how everything falls into place. We'll know a lot more. For example, just to bring it to Toronto, a year ago today, Kyle Lowry probably had four or five options of where to go in free agency. The Raptors were going to have a real battle on their hands. Then, like, five things happened, closed a whole bunch of windows, and all of a sudden he had no options. It was Toronto or take a much less contract elsewhere. Things change every day, and we're going to be in an era, in a section of the NBA schedule, or the calendar, where we're going to see things change very rapidly. sitting here today and telling you what I think is going to happen is foolhardy, because it's really more a matter of reading and reacting and being nimble and reacting to opportunities that arise that is going to set the good teams apart from the average ones.
Well, and the Raptors are in a bit of a strange position because they still don't have a coach, and Ujiri, we believe he's going to announce someone at some point soon, and the belief is it's more than likely a guy in-house, probably Nick Nurse in the driver's seat right now, but the word is out there. I mean, guys like yourself and Wojnarowski and others have been reporting that pretty much everyone is available if you call and you're willing to pay a price. But Ujiri, I mean, he made some big moves when he first got here, but they were obvious moves. And moves that didn't even break the way he thought they would. He was trading Rudy Gay with the intention of blowing it up, and they got better. You know, he traded Bargnani because the Knicks are the Knicks. But he hasn't done much since. Do you sense that Ujiri has it in him to be the aggressor, or is he getting the word out so that other people will start calling him, and then he can kind of sit back and make that decision?
Well, I do think Nick Nurse has the inside track, but I do know that they had a second interview with Messina yesterday, so he's right there in the running. I think that it's telling that he must have performed pretty well in the first interview, so that at least is on Masai's mind. You know, I think that the Raptors are potentially in great positions, because if LeBron leaves Cleveland and elects to go west, they get bumped up. The Cavs, I think, would trigger a rebuild, and the Raptors all of a sudden have a new little flicker of life in front of them. And so, you know, I think they're going to, again, have to be nimble and react. I don't think that they are in a tremendous position to add a star, but there's a lot of guys on their roster who are desirable, and a lot of guys on their, you know, who are on really favorable contracts. So if they wanted to cobble together a couple of players and a draft pick or two, they could really maybe make a move that could add a nice piece if they wanted to go that direction. Now, if Boston, you know, makes a major move, you know, or even gets, you know, you can say it's put, or Philadelphia makes a major move, then the Raptors may even retrofit a little bit and maybe look to adjust with their roster. But, you know, there's scenarios that exist where Toronto could come out of this in an improved position, or they could come out of it in a weakened position. It just depends on how things go. I think they're kind of locked into the top end of their roster at this point, but you never know. Things are always changing, like I said.
How many dummy Twitter accounts do you have working right now?
Zero. I don't believe in it. I believe in transparency.
Good man.
What is the reaction? What's the reaction around the league about the Colangelo situation?
Well, he didn't get due process, which is kind of unfair to him, because if this had happened another time, he may have been able to figure out a way to do this. But I don't think anybody in the league believes that those were not his thoughts. And so he was compromised. Fair or not that he lost his job, he was compromised. And it's hard to be compromised as a general manager. It's impossible when you are facing a huge offseason like they are. You know, he just couldn't survive it. You know, and it's, his career is now kind of in danger. Because some people in the league, fair or not, believe he only got the job because of his father. And now this has happened. So he's, you know, to have your career threatened by a situation like this has to be crushing to him. It's really unfortunate, but the NBA, as I will tell you, as I've learned many times, the NBA will move on and not care.
Yep, they most certainly will. I mean, they got a game tonight. We'll be focused on that. Enjoy it in Cleveland. Thank you for doing this, Brian.
Take care.
Brian Windhorst from ESPN. Probably the quickest ins and outs of any of our guests.
I know.
How you doing, Brian?
Good.
Okay.
I thought we were in for one.
What'd you think of LeBron comp? Nah, I did it last year.
Stick yeah, that in your like pipe and smoke it.
That was it for you.
He's a great guest, though.
Yeah,
man. He's informed.
I
after that.
Very.
I stopped listening to our own interview.
No, he was good. And
very
listen,
good.
Yeah, as for the Raps, I mean, it sounds like Nick Nurse is the leader in the clubhouse for being the new coach.
Then name him.
I guess you're not in a rush because Detroit, it sounds like it's Casey and nobody else.
If it's over tonight, do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, but Masai, again, he's got the word is out there. He's leaking word to whoever's willing to listen that you can call about anybody and everyone's on the table, but I'll believe that when I see it.
No kidding.
Because, great, Serge Ibaka's on the table. Who do you think is calling you for that contract and that kind of performance based on what we've seen?
Ice Cube.
Maybe the Big Three League is looking for Serge Ibaka.
I'm teasing, but...
But yeah, outside of that, I don't know. It's going to be a fascinating offseason in the NBA. And I think the Raptors, I think they have to come back with a slightly different roster at the very least. You've got to adjust something, not just the head coach. Craig Laughlin, longtime Capitals TV analyst, will join us from Washington in about 20 minutes or so. We've got a Friday five-pack coming up, and we'll circle back on the hottest rap track of the summer that was released earlier this afternoon. The fresh victim of a Twitter affair, the Brian Colangelo story. Get to that later this afternoon. Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
We've got the debut release of Hazy B, a.k.a. Petey Griff.
P. Griffey.
We're going to do that in the 6 o'clock hour?
Yeah, we're going to play it in the 6 p.m. hour.
I love it.
It's such a great track. I mean...
It really is.
I think we've actually put together a masterpiece.
It's all you, buddy.
Yeah, not we. You.
You. Well,
you and Mullins.
Mullins was involved in that hunt. All the boys. Everyone, it's a team effort down here.
Yeah, it is.
I might be the Ovechkin, but don't sell yourself short. You guys are, at the very least, Brooks Orpik. And
how about Brooks Orpik? That guy was on the ice in critical times. The analytics guys hate him, but
they hate
man,
him.
They, this guy defended
somehow he's always
very
there
well.
When it counts.
Yeah, he was good.
Overdrive delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. We have done that this afternoon. We got some pizza kicking around. The boys are happy. Yep. The weather's beautiful. It's supposed to be really nice for like the next week and a half.
I'll take
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
The roads are going to be loaded. People getting out of town, going up north. We got weddings coming up. I got in big trouble today.
Uh-oh.
Because I swear I mailed back the invitations.
No,
that was my job. You got to send these back. And I think our postman is Newman, and they
didn't get out?
Didn't get out.
When's the first one coming up?
We're going next weekend. We're going,
and they didn't even have you down as going.
Well, I don't know what happened because this was Aaron's side. It's her friend and whatever. So she reached out and was like, "Hey, just wondering."
So
and
you
then
think that she thinks you didn't want to go.
No, she didn't send it
back.
She thinks that I just left it somewhere. It's in the car. It's in my trunk or something like that. Because I also mailed out. One of my really good buddies are getting married, and he sent me a text yesterday. He's like, "Hey, get your life together. Like, when are you going to return the invitation?
Maybe you should put a stamp on this letter.
Can you just call people? Like, it's just
yeah, but that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. Like, that's just the way it is with weddings. And I wrote him back. I'm like, you get your life together. I mailed that thing. I know I mailed it. And he's like, "No, you didn't. I'm telling you, we haven't received anything.
Just say no.
So now there's like a big conspiracy that I either didn't do it or I did it, and the post office is.
I think you got a Newman on your hands.
I think I got a Newman, and I think Doug Ford has to be accountable here. I'm going to reach out to Doug personally and say, "You got to figure out what's going on with my mailbox."
Because
I'm getting screwed over at home.
He's got a laundry list of things to figure out before he...
Well, I don't care about anybody else. I care about my personal post office.
The road system. Get that going.
All right. Craig Laughlin, longtime color analyst with the Caps. He'll join us. Get just a read on the reaction in Washington and how many people were out on the streets in D.C. last night. It was awesome to see.
It was.
Really makes you jealous here in Toronto. Like, it's been a long time since the Jays won the World Series. A long time. That was 25 years ago.
Did you go to the parade?
No, I didn't go to the parades. I don't remember going to the parades.
My mom and my brother were at the game.
In 93 when Carter walked off?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good ticket.
Yes,
that's
sir.
The best ticket of in Toronto sports history, at least over the past 40 years, for sure. So we'll keep looking back in the Cup Final and turn the page. The offseason is officially upon us. We'll start looking ahead to that as well. And Hazy B, a.k.a. P. Griffey, will continue to play the hottest track of the summer.
Yes.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.